welcome out there to another awesome and riveting episode of The Album Argument. I'm Ryan.
I'm Jeremy.
And we are so thankful to have you with us today. Jay, really quickly, what is The Album Argument?
The Album Argument is a podcast, weekly podcast, of two friends, longtime friends. We swap albums in advance. We listen to them in our own, you know, cars and computers and, I don't know, do you listen anywhere else?
I listen mostly in my truck. In my classroom when I'm doing like lesson stuff and when I'm doing dishes at home or when I'm like working on other stuff in my room / office / not a real office.
Yeah. So sometimes on headphones, sometimes over speakers, things like that. So we listen in advance. We kind of formulate ideas. We write them down, type them. I type mine. And then we get together and kind of share the best and worst for live reactions. So we kind of try to stump the other, maybe see what the other one likes. Like, I wanted to see what you thought about Depeche Mode last week. And then sometimes we talk about albums that we kind of know the other one likes, but kind of, like, you know, want to throw chairs over it.
Yeah.
This is a very long way of giving a podcast pitch. It would not be a good elevator pitch, but I just feel like elaborating this week. I'm of many words this week.
Well, here's a little fun fact, since you mentioned like how you take your notes. For the first, 20, 25, 30 episodes, I had a computer that I did notes on.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And then for the last 40-some-odd episodes, I handwrite them. I handwrite all my notes. And I find that when I handwrite them, I don't know, I feel like the episode's better. Because I go back and listen to everything again, and I'm like, oh, man, I sounded awful there.
No, you know, you never sound awful.
But you know what? I've caught myself making so many mistakes. Like, oh, I said the wrong thing. I didn't mean that song. I meant another. Oh, man, and you can't go back. Unless you have an episode where it's like, hey, we're doing our deep cuts of where we got things wrong.
Maybe we'll do AI Ryan, and then we can just kind of punch you in. There we go. No, I don't
That'd
know.
That'd be awesome.
But no, I think I started writing and then I went digital just because I'm at the computer most of the time if I'm listening and then when I'm kind of making notes. But anyways.
Well, you're our behind the scenes guy.
Behind the scenes, yeah.
Yeah.
I guess. I try.
You do a great job.
Well, yeah. 81, episode 80, 81 that
80
we're
going. 80 million.
So 80 million. So hopefully you're still listening.
How many people have turned off the podcast by now?
I think we've got a good one. I'll just go ahead and say that I already own this album.
Oh, sweet.
So we can talk about that more. But nice. I even had a t-shirt of this band at one point.
Did you really? I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Maybe I did and I totally forgot.
It's like middle school, high school. Oh, I don't know. So, wow. But anyway, so tell us more.
Yeah, we're talking about Bush and their record 16 Stone.
So 16 Stone. I didn't know this. Last week, kind of started talking about this.
Yeah.
16 Stone, is this, I've always wondered, is this like,
I think it's a weight.
A British term? I always wondered. I was like, I'm
pretty sure, like, you know, oh, this way, 16 Stone.
That, I mean, it's a pretty cool album cover and all of that.
It's an interesting album cover. I wouldn't say it's great or anything, but
I guess I would just say that I guess I've seen it forever. And it's something that, like, you see, it's simple, whatever it is, and it's got the name, and it's when I come across it, like, oh, that's the Bush album.
It's like in dot matrix form right there, like ones and zeros.
Yeah, it's very 90. Don't look at Spotify. We're looking at Spotify, and it says 2014. It did not come out in 2014.
No, in fact, it came out December 6th of 1994, even though it was recorded back in January of 94. It still took like 12 months before it came out. Huh? And that had a lot to do with the fact that, Bush is from London, England, and the Britpop sound at that time was not this. Bush very much is a grunge, post-grunge, you know, hard rock band, and this was definitely not what was going on in good old Merry England. And so they kind of had to find their right niche. And in doing so, they looked at different producers. They wanted to, when they were recording this album, they wanted to get Steve Albini at first. But then it was decided that, you know, maybe he wouldn't be the best fit for the first album. They would figure something else later. And of course, you know, Steve Albini at this time was recording with Nirvana.
Yep.
But let me back up a little bit. Bush consists of Gavin Rossdale on, you know, vocals, guitar, also ex-husband to Gwen Stefani of No Doubt. Nigel Pulsford, he was also the lead guitarist, Dave Parsons, bass player, and then Robin Goodrich, who was their drummer. Now, again, I said that this was recorded back in January of 94 at Westway Recording Studios in London by Clive Langer, Alan Winstanley, which I'm probably saying the name wrong because I'm horrible at names, and also by the band. again, I mentioned that they wanted Steve Albini but couldn't get him.
But then he came back. They got Albini.
They got him on the next record. Yeah. He recorded Razorblade Suitcase with them.
I don't know. I would say the sound of Albini is in this album. So they definitely had a hand in saying, like, we want it
to, we want it to sound
like Albini.
But if you listen to Razorblade Suitcase, you can tell that that is an Albini record.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like, it's very artsy and grunge at the same time.
Now, I wonder, was it just a coincidence? And this is an issue that Bush has always had. Sorry to jump in. But, you know, was it a reaction to In Utero, or were they already going that direction and it was just a coincidence?
I think it was a coincidence.
Okay. Because they've kind of got lumped into, like, oh, they're just a copy and it's just a British, and oh, they did Albini. Nirvana did Albini. Yep. So
seeing that they wanted Albini from the start back when they recorded this, I would say that they had it in their mind which direction they wanted to go in. Now, in total, Bush has released around 9 records, but 4 of them were only with the original lineup that consists on this one.
And this is the first one?
I think this is their very first record. And for their very first record, you know, they always got that saying, you got a lifetime to write your first record, 6 months to write your second. This was a great record. I'd say this is almost a perfect album, and I love it. It's infused with so many different styles of music. It's not just grunge, you know. Yeah. There's some heartfelt stuff. There's a little bit of punk in there. And of course, grunge, yes. But it was released on Trauma and Interscope Records, and it had 5 hit singles. 5 hit singles from a grunge band. This was huge. But again, they didn't fit in with their British bands, and therefore, they're not as successful over in England. They are definitely more of an American band.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, the vast majority of their album sales are here.
I mean, I could see. I mean, growing up here in the Atlanta area, they were a staple on 99X.
I think
they're still played. You can hear them now, still, like, walking around a mall. Mm-hmm. I hear, like, Glycerine here and there, and so forth. So I guess that makes sense. To me, it's just interesting because we just hear it everywhere here.
Yeah.
Like, it's how can they not play it there?
But again, I said this was a very good, almost perfect record. All Music would agree. They haven't ranked 4.5 out of 5.
Wow.
Though, Rolling Stone Album Guide says it's only a 3.5 out of 5, and I think they got this one wrong, because this album rocks, man. Best songs on it. There's just so many songs you could choose to be the best song. The worst song, there's really not that many choices. I think I already know which one you're going to go with. Maybe not. I don't know. There's a song that doesn't fit the album, but I still feel like deserves to be on the album for some weird reason. And I'll explain that later. So that being said, Jeremy Dudman, tell me, what do you think of Bush and their beautiful masterpiece of a record, 16 Stone?
Yeah, I'm really surprised that you gave this to me and that you love it so much. I don't know why.
This is I bought this record years ago. I bought it in 95. I've just always loved it. It's been so good. And it's funny because on Netflix, the movie Fear, I don't know if you've ever seen that, Mark Wahlberg and Reese Witherspoon. It's a movie called Fear. It's a psychological thriller movie. I really love it. I liked the movie when I was a teenager. I saw it come up again on like Netflix. So I was like, ooh, sweet. I watched it immediately as soon as it came up. And Mark Wahlberg gives a beautiful performance in it. It's like, honestly, one of his best. You know, he's so demented and crazy, but sweet and loving. And there's so many Bush songs from this album used in that movie. And I'm like, oh, wait, that's a Bush song. Wait, they're playing another one. Wait, there's a third, like, there's so many used. So I don't know. It was kind of neat that here the album was spinning in the house, and then I'm watching a movie and the album's in the movie and stuff.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
it was kind of neat. If you haven't seen Fear, you need to go see it.
I have not seen that. We'll have to see that. So yeah, I think I've owned it. I don't know when. I mean, I got into a lot of this music starting around 95.
Nice.
And, you know, I think I said Dookie was one of the first albums that I owned. So I owned it at some point. I remember getting the third, I think it's the third Chemical. What's that? Science of Things.
Science of Things. Yes.
I always call it Chemical, but that's one of the songs.
Yeah, it says Chemicals Between Us was the lead single.
Yeah. So I remember getting that. That was like 99. That was like the beginning of the end for Bush, because it was like these three albums, this one, Razorblade Suitcase, and then Science of Things.
Yep.
And then I think they took a break too. And
they came out after that with Golden State.
Yeah.
That got kind of squashed by the September 11th stuff.
Ah.
And that killed the promotion of that album. And that ended the band, essentially. But since you mentioned the Science of Things, that's got my favorite Bush song on there of all time.
Oh, what is
Warm
that?
Machine.
Warm Machine. Yeah.
It's all a very good Warm Machine.
I think that album, kind of talking about what we did last week with Violator, like that one was kind of the third album, not to take away from this one. So this is a good first album. Great first album. Really great.
Yeah.
I think it's a sign of like 1994 too.
Oh, yeah.
Right? And then they kind of did similar things the next album, but I think that Science Between Us, whatever, Science of Things, I can't remember, emerging songs and albums.
That's awesome.
Science of Things. I think that was, you know, the best of this sound with a little bit more European electronic.
Yeah, yeah.
And so you kind of, it's interesting going, I say all of this, long way to get to, that was probably the most recent thing I remember listening to.
Okay.
That one. Yeah. 20 years ago. I remember when that came out. I bought that when it came out, mm-hmm. and I like that song and a whole bunch of other songs. And it was kind of sleeper. It was like, oh, but this isn't the same Bush, but it wasn't 1994 anymore.
Yeah.
But it was, it just felt, and even the other day I listened to it, and I was like, this feels much more developed and grown up and all of that. And then it kind of, they went in different directions. You can't expect a band to replicate everything over and over and over the same. So I think going back to this album, it sounds kind of more raw mm-hmm. compared to that. But it's very warm, as you mentioned, warm machine. This is, I think it's a very, it's great, good, whatever, bad English. It's really cool and wonderful, warm guitar tones throughout. Nice. Like, I'd agree. Of that time, you know, Nirvana and things like that, and everybody kind of had a similar sound, grunge sound, but this just kind of sounds a little different.
Yeah, it does.
Like, it's very overdriven. Like, I always liked Glycerine, how it's heavy. Like, it's a ballad. It's a heavy ballad, but then it gets even heavier.
Yeah,
like, yeah. But it's warm, too. So, I'm not saying it's better than a Nirvana or anything. You know, who knows? Maybe some of the stuff is, but it's kind of fuzzy too.
Mm-hmm.
So I think they have like, they had a distinct sound in this and then Razorblade Suitcase. And then again, that next one that I always forget the name of. And then after that, like even the new Bush though, it all sounds like modern rock and he kicked out everybody and all of that and whatever happened. And it just doesn't
feel the same.
It's not very unique anymore. No. Yeah. It doesn't feel the same. It's very like 3 Days Grace sounding that it just like overproduced.
Ooh, that's
like,
not a good comparison.
It's not a good comparison. So, anyways,
not a compliment.
We're shining a light on like the first three albums of Bush. So I agree.
Oh yeah, totally.
And going back to why I'm surprised because, like you don't like a Kings of Leon
mm-hmm.
and, I feel like Bush is kind of like the 90s is Kings of Leon and Nickelback in a way.
No. Oh, Jeremy Dudman.
Because of this.
I'm about to hurt you.
No, I'm just saying because I felt like I had that t-shirt and I thought it was cool, but then I felt like everybody's like, oh, Bush. Like, they're just a ripoff. Oh, they're just doing that. But that was then. But now you look back, you go, but this mm-hmm. is still really good.
It's still very good.
So I'm just surprised because I think at the time, maybe they got lumped into just a copy.
It's possible.
And funny enough, I saw an interview. I remember reading this a long time ago and I found this and I think it was Rolling Stone or something. They criticized the Smashing Pumpkins for being copies. So, you know, and if it was just a coincidence, then yeah, they don't realize that they're kind of maybe a sign of the times are copy too. But anyways, I thought that was funny. They're like, yeah, they're just copying others. Everybody copies. So
there you go.
I'm just, first thing was, I'm surprised you gave it to me.
I love this record.
I haven't listened to it in years. Of course, you know, the hits of Everything Zen, Little Things, Come Down, Machine Head, Glycerine. Is that all five?
Mm-hmm.
If I can count, right?
Yep.
Most musicians just count to four. So I'm just making sure I can count to five. So it's 12 songs, right? 12 songs. The last one is not a extra hidden track.
It sounds like it though. It should have been.
Yeah, it sounds, it probably could have ended on Alien.
Probably was supposed to be a hidden track.
Yeah.
I'm assuming that it was meant to be a hidden track and it's not.
It's Ex-Girlfriend. 45 seconds. Yeah, Ex-Girlfriend. Not my pick.
Really? That's what I had you pegged for, no, for picking.
Because I think it still kind of fits. It's almost like, what is it, the last one on Silverchair, Frog Stomp? It's kind of different, but the same.
Yeah.
Right? It's kind of more punk, and maybe that was their beginnings, and at the time it made sense. I think it still kind of fits for whatever reason.
I like the lyrics in it, though. You never call me when you're down.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the only lyrics.
It's catchy. Yeah, yeah. So the one that, now I think Everything's End starts off really well. I think, I'm not saying Swim and Bomb are bad, but I think it kind of dives a little bit and then it comes back up with mm-hmm. Little Things.
Have you noticed that Swim is very much like a heavy Drop Sonic song?
No.
Oh, see, I hear like Drop Sonic in that.
Gotcha.
Go ahead. Continue with what you're saying.
That's a band that we grew up liking here in the
Atlanta area.
So initially I was thinking maybe I'd pick Swim or Bomb just because it kind of dives off and they're kind of quieter, but they have good things about them, right? Mm-hmm. I like good qualities. So I'm going to the one that I think I'm pretty sure I'll pick is, well, I have to pick one that I just don't like as much. To me, out of all the songs, it just doesn't match. It's got some of the, once it gets into it, it's heavy like the rest of them, but yeah, it just doesn't match. It doesn't have a good guitar solo. It doesn't match the other ones. It has a weird U2 vibe to it, and it's track 9, Monkey, for my pick for not the best. Now, I admit I could either choose Swim or Bomb, but Monkey, it's got that Ryan sitting here with his mouth open, like either he agrees or he hates me for it. It has something, that guitar, that sounds a little bit more like actually some of the stuff on the Chemical song. It sounds very similar, like they took that idea, but they made it Bush in that song. This one just sounds like U2, like it doesn't fit the other songs.
This sounds nothing like U2. How dare you?
The guitar is just that lead part.
That has got a banging chorus in it.
It's
so cool. It's a great song. How could you pick that?
The solo is not very good.
Okay, so what?
I'm just giving you.
It's a good song.
I'm giving you three reasons.
That's a horrible. You are so wrong on this. Oh my God.
I think compared to all the other songs, kind of mesh and mold together, and then this song just kind of starts and it's got the.
I know it's cool. It's not cheesy. Your face. Is cheesy. This is ridiculous.
No, Monkey's cheesy.
Oh my gosh, no.
And it's got the bad distorted vocal off to the side.
Oh my God, I like it.
It just doesn't fit. It doesn't fit the album. 12 songs, trim this one off, hide the other one. Could have been 10 songs. All right. So we're back after throwing chairs. Got a few bruises. So then I have the real difficulty in choosing the best song. Truly, I'm looking at my list.
Yep.
It's probably one of the singles and or plus one song.
Gotcha.
Well, I will take away Little Things because as much as I like Little Things, like I really like that. And that's almost like the Offspring song.
Yeah.
When I Come Around, it's very simple.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty much the same chords. It doesn't change enough. Like I think it's a really cool song and I probably really like listening to it, but is it the best song musically and everything? Lyrically, it's kind of nice, but it's the same thing over and over. It's grunge.
It is. I would say the saving grace of that song is like that build up and then like the anger, frustration pouring out. That is like the pinnacle, in my opinion, of the whole album. That moment right there is like the yes.
Yeah. You know. So it's a simple rocket. Like if I hear that on the radio, maybe it just hasn't been played as much. I'm like, oh yeah, this is cool. Mm-hmm. Like it's just,
I love that
it's,
song.
It's simple. Because everything's zen, it's a cool opener. It's got the slide. That's kind of unique.
It's cool.
Bush, right?
Yeah.
It's unique. I always thought that sounded like REM. It sounds like The One I Love. This one goes out to
I
the
gotcha.
One
I
like. It's
I
the gotcha. Same. It's very similar chord progression. And REM, that's one band that will probably come to at some point. Like,
yeah,
some of their 80s albums were kind of ahead of all of this 90s sound. And anyway, so for example, that song, Come Down's got the cool bass. I don't know. I always, and that starts right away, but it's nice, but I don't know if that's the best one. Like maybe technically it's got the cool bass. That's, I'm thinking out loud because I really have to think of which song I like. But I don't know if I could pick that. Machine Head's pretty cool. It's got the octaves. I love how it goes, breathe in, breathe out, breathe in, breathe out, breathe in. And then we're supposed to hold our breath. Like, anyways, so people are still holding their breath.
Yeah, they are.
He never says breathe out. So anyways, Glycerine is of course the hit. The Sleeper, though, I think is Alien.
That's a very good song.
It's got the I don't remember this song at all.
It's Yeah, it's really good. I just
found this song, literally.
It should have been the closer.
Yeah, should have been the closer. It kind of has that Science of Things album vibe.
Yeah.
It's like a precursor to that album. It's got the bass. It's got the cool melodic lines, only like two chords for the most part. I want to pick that because that's maybe the song I would listen to now.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's the best song.
It's a very good song.
So I would say nowadays that's a song that I would probably go to. I was like, wow, this song's cool. Okay. So thank you for giving me this album.
Yeah.
I think I'll go with, if I think of Bush, I guess the best song, I'll go Game Time Decision. I'll go with Machine Head. So yeah, it's kind of the joke that I mentioned, breathe in, breathe out, breathe in.
Mm-hmm.
It's got the octaves. I think it's just unique. It's got a little bit of Bush, everything of Bush in all in one song. It's got the quiet, the first chorus kind of goes down and then it kind of comes up. It's kind of like a trick. It's kind of cool, unique Machine Head. Like it's not like every other song title off of this is pretty much one word. I mean, Machine Head is, but what is a Machine Head? Like I think I looked into it, a literature based or inspired.
I think so,
something
yes.
along some machine, some book he was reading at the time. It's very popular. I think it just rocks. It's not as it's been overplayed, but it's not as annoying when I hear it now. So
yeah.
I'll go with Machine. Like Everything Zen, Come Down When I Hear It. I don't know if I can listen to that. And it's just very warm sounding. So I think I'm happy with my choice. Sorry. I'll say Machine.
It's a great choice.
It's just out of those five plus Alien, so six songs, you could really choose any one of them. So
you really could. And that's the thing. And
sorry for taking up so much.
No. You're perfectly fine. And because this is a great record. It really is. And like I said, it's almost perfect. As we've said before, and we've said 100 times on this podcast, we take our perfect records very serious here. We are critical of things. We are positive about a lot of stuff, but we are critical of certain things. This record is almost perfect. I want to say this record is perfect. It's not, but there are so many good songs. There, you know, Everything's In, I think, is a good, it was a good introduction to the band. Like, hey, this is what we are. It's a great start to the album.
I think it's a really cool opener.
It is a very cool opener. Swim, I actually dig Swim. I think it's a good song. Bomb, I actually do dig. I think it's a good song. Little Things. So if you would have asked me back in like 2002, Ryan, what's your favorite Bush song? It would have been Little Things because it fit my mood at that time.
I could see that. I could totally see that.
The aggression, the stuff I was going through, the total anger issue stuff. That was my song. I listened to that song constantly. If you would have asked late 90s Ryan what my favorite song was, it was Glycerine because I was in love, I had these girlfriends or whatever, things didn't work out, and I questioned my thoughts on stuff. I even played Glycerine for my kids the other day in the truck. We were listening to like an Apple playlist 90s hits and stuff, and it came on. And I was like, turn this up. And my kids were even like, yeah, that's really good. That's like so emotional and raw at the same time. And I'll never forget watching MTV and seeing him play this song live, and it's pouring down rain and he's playing it by himself on the stage. And he looks up and talks back into the microphone. And he's like, this would be a cool song to die to. And meaning that like at any moment, lightning could strike him and he would die because it was like pouring. And I was like, oh my God, that was amazing. So, something stupid, I have a green guitar strap that I use for, it is my favorite guitar strap. I bought that strap simply because Gavin Rosdell had a green guitar strap, the exact same one. I idolized him growing up. I wanted my hair to be like him. I wanted to look like him.
Everybody wanted their hair to look like
him. And then he freaking married Gwen Stefani, and I had a No Doubt poster on my bedroom wall, and I'm like, oh my God, this is my dude. I think his writing is incredible. Testosterone, such a funny, ironic song.
Yeah.
And making fun of basically some of the grunge people. Like, let's be honest here. Some of the stuff that he mentions in Testosterone is geared towards the grunge community.
It's interesting. It's got the drums. It's like, it's almost like whatever off of In Utero and all of that.
Yep. I mean, this whole, but the song that got me into this album, got me into this band and enjoying them was Machine Head. And that is actually my pick as well. Hey. That is one of the coolest. It's a simple riff. It is one of the first riffs I ever learned on guitar. It's so simple that it's awesome.
I think that's why I kept coming back to it too.
Yep. Anytime you hear that, like, you know what the song that's is Bush. Immediately. You yep. know who it is, and you know the feeling that's going to come. And you're right. That first chorus that it drops to the, I remember the first time hearing that and getting chills and being like, oh, right. What is this?
Yep.
Like, that made me go out and buy that record. So Machine Head is my pick also as the best song.
Yeah.
So let's play a little bit of If You Don't Mind. So I would say, you know, I love Ex-Girlfriend as well. I think that's a great song. But if I had to pick a close second, let's go with Glycerine. It's not just one guitar track.
Right.
Let's be, there's so many people that think that it's just one. It's not. There's like three going right there.
But it's warm and fuzzy.
It's warm and fuzzy. And I think that, if I'm not mistaken, the record company pushed back on how they recorded the song and then like releasing it as a single. They're like, nobody is going to want a distorted ballad by itself.
I can't think of another one.
I can't either. It was new, it was creative, it was inventive, and it works. But it works because of not only this, let's be real, the simple chord progression there.
Yeah.
Was that a 1-4-5-4 right there?
Very simple, sure.
You know, and then his warm vocals. Like, his vocals are so soothing and warm. Is it
1-5-6-4?
There we go. Yeah. Yeah. That was the other one I was thinking.
That's what I was thinking.
No, but like, I mean, it all worked.
Yeah.
It gets heavier
too. Yeah. Somehow it's got strings.
And then the strings are perfect. You know, and then
up your alley. You like your strings.
Oh God, you know I do. But then even at the end, where the guitar cuts out and it's the
yeah.
with the string, you know, I remember my daughter, like, she was looking at me like, that was kind of interesting, but I'm like, but it fits.
And Glycerine. What is that?
What is it? Is it?
It's very alt-rock.
Is it a gasoline? Is it an alcohol? Is it a lady's name? I mean, like, what is it?
I remember hearing this and learning guitar and all of that, you know, 98 or so. And it was all over the radio still. Yeah. Like, I'm going to write a song. And I can't wait to stand up and play it in front of the girls and get the girls. And,
yeah,
you know, and not to take away from Bush, but the elephant in the room is Bush, this is a good album,
yeah,
but is Bush as popular for their sound, or are they as popular because of Gavin Rossdale?
It's the latter. But, but
he's got good hair.
He's got great hair. He's still a handsome guy. Let's be real. I don't know. I don't like a lot of his music that he's done lately. I think there was the last song that I really liked of his came out in like 2012.
Right.
And they did go in a different turn with a Razorblade Suitcase. It was definitely like more artsy and stuff.
I like that.
I love it. Yeah. I think it's great, but it's, you know, it alienated some fans, and you know, that happens sometimes, but you know.
Yeah. And they had the change of lineup.
They
did. It's just very produced now that, you know, it sounded like the times,
yeah,
and now they sound like the times.
Yeah.
I just don't like today, but call me old.
So if I had to pick a song that I'm not feeling right now, it's definitely Body.
I think you're wrong about that. It's a cool riff. Well, the riff's okay. Actually, no, I'll say the riff is okay. And I think maybe 90s Jeremy and 2000s, I might not have liked it. But now I like it because you go, okay, well, how's it, this going to go, like, oh, some weird, da, 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 like the drums. I imagine what the drums. And then the drums just kind of come in and it fits not how I expect it.
Yeah.
But it's less cheesy that way. And it's got the cool slide and the bass is kind of grooving. I think it's okay compared to Monkey.
Yeah, no, Monkey's a better song. It's not a bad song. It's just, you know...
It's a little bit more bluesy, too. Maybe it doesn't fit. I could see, like, that's more riff bass.
So that's why I say it's not perfect. And again, I would say I like the song Ex-Girlfriend, but I do feel like that should have been a, like, a hidden track. I think it should have been hidden within Alien or at the end of Alien. You know, but it does start with a cow mooing. I mean, like, that's been...
I don't know if it's if you notice on Apple Music, is this intentional? But on Spotify, I tried to look up lyrics for each song. And when you get to Ex-Girlfriend, it says, you're going to have to guess this one. I've never seen that on any other song. Is that... Did somebody put that
you
in?
You only
that
call in? Me when you're down.
It's not even like it's difficult to understand, but it says, you're going to have to guess. Like, is like a joke?
I think it's a joke because they all... It's just one line and it just keeps repeating itself. So, you only call me when you're down.
Touche to whoever did that. The band, that label, Spotify, whoever they get their lyrics from. Anyways. But yeah, good choice. Thank you for bringing this to my attention because I always... through their first album off is like, oh, it's got the hits and not much else. But I think it's a really good album.
It's a solid record.
I think it's a lot roomier than what I remembered. Mm-hmm. Now it makes sense with Albini. I thought the next one was the Albini sound, but this one is already very Albini-esque. So I think this stands the test of time even more, and I think Bush gets even more credit than when they came out. Yeah. They're probably, again, summing up, as I mentioned, they're probably like, oh, they're just another grunge band. But no, they actually...
They're
this
clearly
is
not.
Really good sounding.
All right. Thank you very much to everybody for joining us out there. If you haven't done so already, please make sure that you go and buy every Bush album out there and listen to every song that they've ever recorded.
Go on tour.
Go on tour with them.
Follow
them around. Yeah. If you haven't also done so, please go and visit us at thealbumargument.com where you can get all our information, including Jay's Spotify playlist.
Yeah, we've got another good album coming out next week. Probably one that you've never heard of. Because it's not a very popular band, but I'm very interested to hear what Ryan says about this. It is just, it came out a few years after 16 Stone. In 2000, The Grayest of Blue Skies by Finger Eleven.
Yes.
So you probably know the band Finger Eleven, but it's not a very popular album. But it's one that I've just wondered what Ryan thinks of. And it's kind of, it's got this 90s sound to it, but it's kind of where 90s music went. Yep. And I think next week will be an interesting show.
It's going to be a good show.
Yeah.
Nice. Until next time, thank you very much, everybody. I'm Ryan.
I'm Jeremy.
Deuces. We are out.